Good morning. It's time for our K-State Research and Extension Report, and we have with us today Meredazine Extension District Family and Consumer Sciences Agent Kathy Gal. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm pretty dandy, actually. I just got gifted a box of some favorite chocolates, so I'm in a great mood. How about you?
Well, I tell you what, if I had that, I'd be in a wonderful mood as well.
Well, in the meantime, you are going to give us the gift of information, which is always appreciated, and kind of an important topic going on.
Yes. You know, Alzheimer's is a disease that we really need to talk about. I get a lot of questions of folks coming into the office asking about different things when they have a family member who has begun seeing the signs of Alzheimer's and dementia, and what are some things that can be done, especially in the area of communication. I actually have a friend right now whose husband is in the beginning stages, and she really has relied on coming to myself as a source to get some tips and tricks for how to better communicate with him. Communication is something, it's more than just talking and listening. It's also about kind of sending and receiving messages through our attitude and our tone of voice, our facial expressions, our body language. All of that kind of conveys how we relate to someone and how that individual relates back to us. And what we find when the brain changes with Alzheimer's disease or another dementia-related process, people lose the ability to speak and kind of decode that language in the usual ways. And the better we can understand the changes that are taking place, the better we can connect with our loved ones who have Alzheimer's and other dementias as the disease progresses. And I wanted to talk specifically about communicating with folks who really are at the beginning of Alzheimer's disease. And as they go through, obviously, progressing with the disease, they lose more and more abilities to communicate. But if you are helping someone or have a loved one who is in those early stages, it's important to understand that you may not see changes in the way the person communicates, but there may be some shifts with their ease of words and different conversations. So changes you might notice are difficulty finding the right words or taking longer to respond when you're having a conversation or completely withdrawing from a conversation or struggling with maybe some of the decision-making that takes place. And, you know, communication in the early stages is crucial. It's a period where everybody involved is adjusting to this diagnosis and having thoughts and feelings about the changes. So coming to terms with that is one of those steps. And kind of, you know, looking at what is going to work in your situation and what is not. So some things to think about: ask directly how you can help with communication. Does the person want you to help them find that word that they're missing, or would they prefer you to give them time to come up and remember what it is they were trying to communicate? It's important to keep sentences clear and straightforward when you're asking a question, and to also leave plenty of time for conversations. And I think as a whole, we really forget to do that. Life becomes so busy, and really technology has kind of forced us into a different way of communicating, where you fire off a text message and somebody sends it back and they expect an immediate response. And what we're seeing is that is also coming over into the realm of our personal face-to-face conversations, where we want them to act in the same manner. So giving ourselves plenty of time to have those conversations and making sure that we include the person in conversations that directly affect him or her when we're looking forward and planning for the future. That is super critical, especially in the early stages. You want to make sure that the person suffering from the disease still has a say in their care and how they want to be helped throughout the progression of the disease. It's also important to avoid making assumptions about a person's ability to communicate because of an Alzheimer's or dementia diagnosis. The disease is going to affect people differently. You want to speak directly to that person if you want to know how he or she is doing. explore what method of communication is going to be most comfortable for the loved one that you're working with. This could include letters or email, phone calls, or in-person conversations. So depending on where your loved one lives and what they're most comfortable with will help you better communicate with them. And keep in mind, it's okay to laugh together. I think it's really important for us to remember that. Alzheimer's is a tough diagnosis, and I know that personally from the so many people in my family that have struggled with the disease over the years. And we have to remember all the good stuff and really be able to laugh at ourselves. Even when I'm talking with folks and probably in some of my conversations on the radio, you forget that word or that phrase that you were going to say. So it's okay to laugh about it together if both parties are comfortable with that. And just be honest and stay connected with each other. Be honest about your feelings and don't pull away from a friendship that you have with someone or your family relationship with that person. It is important for them, especially more than ever at this point, to have that relationship. So just taking care in how you communicate is so important. I always encourage folks, like I said, if you've got any questions and need any help when you find yourself in this situation, please give me a call. I'm more than happy to help. My phone number here at the office is 913-294-4306.
Thank you for that. Yeah, I really can't think of anything to add or ask. You've touched on a lot of important stuff there. Most specifically, the fact that while you're looking at, oh, this is an Alzheimer's patient, the most important thing to remember is this is a person and treat them accordingly.
Exactly. It's a friend. It's a loved one. And that relationship is still going to be there even as that disease progresses. They're still going to be your friend or your family member or your neighbor.
Exactly so. Well, once again, thank you very much for sharing the information. I'm sure a lot of people are going to find that helpful.
You are very welcome.
We'll be talking to you again soon. Coming up tomorrow morning at 6:40, Frontier Extension District Horticulture and Natural Resources Agent Amanda Grollo.